I particularly love the text and the subject matter that he was preaching in. But before I make a mention there, I want to apologize to you. For the last week, I've had some things I just had to get done. And I've stayed up most of the night, got a couple hours sleep every night for about four nights. And I used to could do that, and it didn't bother me. But come Wednesday, I was cold and I was hot. I was sweating and I was freezing. Arms were aching, began to have mucus in my brain and chest, and I thought, hey, I'm getting sick. He was preaching to me when he started talking about taking care of your body. And it affected my voice. You can't tell that, I'm sure. But do the best you can to understand, and I'll do the best I can to be as clear as I possibly can. The reason why I love that story, remember, one of the leaders of that story was a man named Peter. Before he had seen the Lord, except in that Sunday, he denied our Lord three times. Remember, he said, you don't have to worry. I'll die before you're taken. And he cut off the high priest's ear. You know why he cut off his ear? He missed his neck. But Peter, warming his fire by the enemy, they said, you're one of them. Oh, no, no, not me. Oh, your voice, it betrays who you are. You're one of them. Don't know him. Three times. And there's a little note there that says, his eyes met the eyes of our Savior. And he burst into tears. And he went away and wept. He loved Jesus Christ. How did the Lord respond? He fixed a fish, I used to say dinner, breakfast, for a backslidden apostle. And he said, come and dine. The reason why I like that, I mess up so many times. I'm glad I've got a merciful Savior. Isn't that exciting? This afternoon, I preached on a subject I dealt with several weeks at Bethany. Excuse me, Ebenezer. And in the present, I've gotten so excited about the subject of worship. I began with the subject of the fear of God. And I found out that this particular attribute, there are more blessings found to those that fear God than any other attribute I could find. I got so excited. And why I'm excited? I fear my Lord. But it's a filial fear. The term filial means fatherly fear. And for those who desire to worship, it begins with the fear of God. Then I began to run through the Old Testament to find all the chapters that dealt with worship, a voluminous study. And the more I read, the more excited I became. The study of Abraham. Well, I really began with Abel, righteous Abel, that offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, whereby he obtained witness that he was righteous. And notice, he became witness that he was righteous. His worship did not make him righteous. It was a witness that he was righteous. God already had done the work of grace in his heart. Oh, and then as I would go from chapter to chapter, one thing about Abraham. God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a little boy. And that's not King James English, but that's what he meant. And he said, how do I know that you're going to give me a little boy? He says, go out and kill a heifer and a goat and a ram, cut them in half, put one on one side and one on the other, and two turtle doves, or a turtle dove and a pigeon, put one on one side and one on the other. Hey, this was a common way of making covenants. Now, covenant's a contract. That's not a word we normally use, but a covenant is a contract. Now, we do it differently. I'm kind of glad. I'd hate to go out and slay a bunch of... Man, what you do, you take the person you're making the contract with, and you'd grab their hands, and you'd walk between the pieces. And that meant your word was gold. And if you ever denied it, the other one was loose from the contract. Well, as nightfall came, Abraham was driving off the birds of prey that began to eat these animals that were dead, God put him in a deep sleep. And a burning furnace, and a burning lamp and a smoking furnace went between those pieces. Oh, let me give you a thought. Anytime you find something you really can't put together, if you can find Christ in it, you make a direct direction to the Son of God. What happened? Let me tell you. God the Father, at His command, a smoking furnace. Smoke in the New Testament is a similar term to a spirit. A burning lamp is the light of the world. And a triune God made a covenant with Abraham, not dependent upon Abraham, depended only upon a triune God. There Abraham worshiped asleep as he received the blessings of the covenant of God. And you see, we're all sons of Abraham. That's what the New Testament says. We get that blessing as well. I then scooped over to the description of the tabernacle. Now, I could spend all night on the tabernacle. You talk about something exciting. God said, I'm going to dwell with you. And he told them how to build a tabernacle. Boy, this was quite a building. Walls of gold set in sockets of silver. Gold was the metal of divinity, and silver was the metal of redemption. This was a place where the Son of God was pictured as our Savior. Oh, I'd like to tell you about the seven pieces of furniture or the offering of the sacrifice. Oh, it's rich. It's wonderful. And it's all over the Bible. But I don't have but 30 minutes, probably 20 now, but that's all right. What I want to tell you about is a word called acceptable. Acceptable. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable. You see, when they came and offered a lamb, they checked it from the head to the tail. They checked the hoofs. It had to be a year old, had to be a male. It could not have any corruption in it. There could be no cut. There could be no bumps. It had to be acceptable before they offered it to God. Our worship must be acceptable. What I want to do and give you at least a few scriptures, I promise you I won't keep you over 2 hours. Did you hear about the fellow that came to church and he got up and he was left in the middle of service? And the preacher said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get a haircut. He said, why didn't you get one before you came? He said, I didn't need one before I came. Well, I'm not a long-winded preacher, and my voice won't let me do too much, or you won't be able to hear what I have to say. But I want you to follow this word, acceptable. There was an inward direction and dimension. There was an outward dimension, and there was an upward dimension in the word acceptable. Psalms 19, verses 12 through 14. Who can understand his ways? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. Let thy words in my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Worship is more than sitting in church and hearing a preacher. Worship is a way of life. And what I want to begin with, we worship in our thoughts. We worship in our conversation. We worship at our work if we're worshiping. And here the psalmist David is saying, keep me from secret sins. We mess up oftentimes before we know we messed up. Secret sins. Lord, help me that the meditation of my heart will be acceptable unto God. In Proverbs 21 and 3, justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Saul, he was God's man to begin with. And he was humble in his own eyes to begin with. But his ego and natural self got the better of him. I know I'm being nice to Saul right now. And God told him through Samuel, go to the Amalekites, kill every man, woman, and child. Every sheep, every cow. I don't want you to leave there with anything breathing. Samuel went out to see him as he came back from battle. And he said, Saul, how'd it go? Oh, man, it's wonderful. We got them. I mean to tell you, we slew them all. We did just what the Lord said. And Samuel said, why do I hear the lowing of the cattle and the bleating of the sheep? God requires obedience, not sacrifice. You see, Saul said, we're going to sacrifice these to the Lord. He said, no, that's wrong. Well, who's this guy tied up in chains over here? Why, he's the king. I wanted to show Israel what a great job we did. You know what Samuel did? He borrowed a sword of one of the soldiers. And he took that sword and he hacked that man to pieces. I'm glad that's not a preacher's job today. But he did what God required. It's wonderful to come to church. And I sure don't want to get anybody that's coming to church. The more the merrier. Only I like better than a little crowd of old Baptists is a big crowd of old Baptists. So I'm thrilled you're here. I'm not fussing at you. I'm just saying, there's things more important than coming to church. A godly and a God-honoring life. Ephesians 5, 8 through 11. For we were sometimes darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Walking in light is worship. It's acceptable to God. You see, it's quite a broad term. 1 Peter 2 and verse 20. For what glory is it when you are buffeted for your faults? Ye shall take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, You take it patiently. This is acceptable unto God. Let me illustrate. I went to Florida. I got involved in a fight. You never thought I'd get in a fight. And I didn't really mean to. I was trying to do what's right. But I got involved in a fight. Now, this was a theological fight. So let me explain myself and be clear. And I got criticized for things I wasn't even guilty of. I called a preacher and said, man, I need your help. Come on. He said, I don't go anywhere where the dust flies. I said, you're a big help. I said, what do you suggest? His comment, be kind. Don't fight the battle. Let the Lord fight for you. He's sitting right there. And he gave me the exact right advice. And did you know what? The whole thing turned around. Oh, the Lord's gracious. And I was following a man, but he was giving me word of God instruction. May the Lord bless us. When we're innocent, and you'll find, well, Abraham Lincoln probably said it best. If you are your own counsel, if you're your own lawyer, you got poor counsel. I mean, you're hurting. And let the Lord fight the battles for you. Outward dimension. Romans 14 is a chapter on Christian liberty. You see, we are our brother's keeper, and we are to help our brethren, and we're never to put a stumbling block in their way. And he tells us in this lesson, a portion of scripture, for he in these things, being a good fellow lover of Christ and our brethren, serveth Christ, is acceptable of God, and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things that make for peace, and things wherein one may edify another. Now, if you know a brother's weak in a certain area, don't cause him to stumble, even if you think it's all right. You'll find where, if you help him and love him and sympathize with him, it will do both of you well. In Romans 15, verse 16, listen to this one. I particularly like it. That I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Here's what he's saying. Paul was a missionary. He was an evangelist. And he reached out to the Gentiles. Now, if you think we get criticized today for going evangelizing other countries, you just don't understand what Paul was doing. And he was a Jew, and he understand the division of races in that day. And he went to the Gentile, bringing them by the thousands. And he said, it's worship. It's acceptable to God. Being evangelistic with the truth of God's grace is acceptable. Being on a radio broadcast in 50 or 100 places, that's acceptable with God as you proclaim truth. Going to wherever God may call you to go to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ is acceptable. It is worship. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 3. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For it is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. praying intercessory prayer for the leaders of your country is worship. It's acceptable unto God. Now, I'm not in love with our present president. Now, and I have a hard time praying for him. But my God, he's used to hard cases. I mean, he's able to change the heart of Saul, the greatest enemy of the church of God, who became the greatest defender of the cause of Christ. Pray for the leaders of our land. However, I'm looking forward to praying for another one pretty quick. But the point, praying for the leaders of your country is worship. First Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4. He commended them. If you have widows indeed in your church, the church ought to help them. But before the church helps them, their children ought to help them. Hey, that's biblical. Young people, there's no reason. We got 24 kids. Somebody's going to take care of us when we get old. But the point's this. It's biblical for them to take care of their children. And if there's no one to take care of those widows, it's the church's responsibility. But they've got to be widows indeed. They've washed the saints' feet. They've entertained strangers. They were good members of the church. We owe them that joy. By the way, that's acceptable with God. And therefore, it is worship. In Philippians chapter 4, if Paul had a favorite church, and he probably did, it's hard not to have a favorite child. I know, just ask Jacob. He got that boy in more trouble. But here's the thing. Paul had a favorite church. His joy and his crown. He said, you helped me over and over again. You helped me when I was in need. He's in prison. So here he is in prison. And he wrote him a letter. And in the letter, he's telling them, oh, listening. He's in jail, up to his neck in chains, chained to a Roman guard, 24 hours a day, and he's writing a letter of joy. Isn't that amazing? Paul was an amazing fellow. And when he wrote the letter, he said, now I'm thanking you for the gift that you gave me. Hey, not because I got a gift. I'm thankful because you're bearing fruit. Then he told him something. Not because I desire to give, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and I abound. I am full. He's in prison. Having received of Epaphroditus, pastor of the church at Philippi, the things which you sent from you, an odor and a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Good? Hey, when you help that preacher over there, it's well-pleasing, acceptable worship unto God. Exciting. Three, the upward dimension of an acceptable worship. The Lord Jesus Christ came to his hometown. And he went into the synagogue as was his custom. Hey, he was faithful. He did the right thing all the time. You sometimes may criticize James and Jude before they were converted. They got so sick of hearing about Jesus. Can you imagine having a brother that did everything right He made all the A's. He always made his bed. He took out the garbage. He cooked. He did everything right. Wouldn't you hate to have a brother like that? I was raised in a house where my older brother, 2 years older, I visited him on the way up here. His name's Fritz, and he's a wonderful man. And he had a great religious experience when he was 14. And he committed himself to preaching of the gospel and to go to foreign fields when he was 14. And he never did anything different. Every night, he'd kneel down beside his bed and he'd pray for 30 minutes while I'm trying to sleep. And I felt guiltier than sin. I understand how those fellows probably felt. But the Lord comes home and he goes into the synagogue and they hand him a scripture, Isaiah 61. Now, they didn't divide it up at the time, and it wasn't a book like what we've got. It was a roll. And you take it and roll it out and you read from it. Let me read it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, to give liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book. He gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began to say unto them, this day is the scriptures fulfilled. Whew. They said, and this Joseph's boy, and he's a carpenter down the street. What do you mean? This is acceptable. This is now revealed. What he's saying is, preaching the truth of the Word of God is acceptable. A lot of people think worship is hearing somebody blessed of God. And as he acts and performs and declares the message of the grace of God, that's worship. Let me broaden it a little bit. The audience is not the audience. God is the audience. And as you hear the word of God preached, are you caused to rejoice? Do you shed tears over truth? Do you say, that's my hope? You see, we're all active. God is the one receiving the worship. That's worship. It goes back to a way of life. I hope when you came in tonight, you knew Brother Bradley's a good preacher. Man, I'm not that bad. But here's the point. You say, Lord, bless them to bring something to my heart that causes it to me to see a clearer picture of my Savior. An increase in my heart, a greater joy than that which I had before I came. I want to worship my God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Ye also are lively stones, are spiritual sacrifice, built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord's with us tonight. I do. I felt it when Brother Bradley was preaching. And as we're here, let us drink in the teaching of God's word, that we might have acceptable worship this evening. Now, I've got a bunch more I could continue this discussion with, but I'm going to conclude with one story. David numbered Israel. I believe he knew it was wrong. But he wanted to know, how many soldiers have I got out there? And so he turned to his captain. He said, number them. He said, you know, David, we all not do that. He said, I'm the king. You're just the general. Get out there and number them. So they did. And they brought. See, God said, your strength is not in numbers or chariots or horses or camel, anything else. Your strength is in me. But David wanted to know. So they came back. And David, the prophet came to him and said, you did the wrong thing. You messed up. And he said, God's going to give you to choose the kind of punishment you'll receive. Do you want to spend 2 years under the authority of your enemies? David answered quickly. He said, with my enemies, there is no mercy. I don't want that. Do you want 6 months? And he described other type of punishment. He said, no, I don't want that one either. What about pestilence from God? He immediately said, with my God, there's mercy. It came. Thousands died because of his transgression. But an angel declared, said the angel of the Lord, and I believe that's Jesus Christ. We could differ on that, and I won't fight with you. But anyway, the angel declared, it is enough. And he stopped the pestilence. So David wanted to have a worship of thanksgiving. And he said, take me to the threshing floor of Ornan. This was just a farmer out there. And he came to the threshing floor. And when Ornan saw it, you didn't get excited when the king was coming to see you, because they don't generally come with good news. And he said, David, what you want? He said, well, I want to worship God. I want to buy your oxen. I want to buy your plow. I want to break up the plow and offer those oxen unto God. One of the farmers smart. He said, you ain't got to buy them. They're yours. You want them? They're yours. You can have them. David made a statement. I don't offer anything to God that I paid nothing for. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's your reasonable service. It's not too much. It's your delight. It's your joy. You will never lose by giving what you have to God. You will only gain. You want to worship. You have but one life to live. Live it for your Lord. You will never be sorry. You see, worship is not Sunday morning here at Tyler Church. It's every day. It's at your work. It's at your home. It's with your children. It's with your friends. It's with your recreation. Worship is a way of life that is acceptable unto God. Thank you for your kind attention.